about it.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the live edition of Let's Paint, Exercise, and Let's Make Blended Drinks tonight, and we're taking your calls. All these wonderful things that we can do all at the same time.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hello, Colin. Welcome to Let's
Paint.
What's up?
Hey, faster, man. Get faster in it. Come on, man. Run out faster.
All right.
I'm with you.
All right, let's go. Okay,
faster,
go.
Brother.
All right.
Back it, man. Make some more of that juice.
All right, we're at 5.
Fine.
Okay, 5. Let's introduce some yellow into our painting.
I'm painting.
Oh, dang.
Faster, you wussy.
And now.
So, are you dying?
A little bit every day.
Our feature presentation.
I love that Let's Paint guy so much.
I miss him. I don't think he's on. We talked about him last year sometime. Didn't somebody say maybe he was still doing some stuff online?
I think Eric Andre did it. Put up a thing of him maybe on Instagram. And so we knew he still existed, and it looked like he was doing it again. But the guy was on a treadmill jogging while painting and making mixed drinks. And the caller was like, go faster! Just relentless.
And in a three-piece suit, too, by the way.
Yes, there's that.
Not convenient. And his beautiful Swedish wife.
Oh, that was so good.
It's a great show. I miss it.
Do yourself a favor. Go to YouTube and go to Let's Paint TV. It's probably still up there. It's good times. Morning,
hey,
everybody.
Lisa.
Brandon,
hey.
Kevin, and Bean Show. It is Thursday, the 29th of January.
Don't ever go away.
I would like to not go away.
Don't leave and be sick and be bad and not be here.
However, if you're sick, I would like you to go away.
I know. I had a fever, so I knew that I wouldn't. Coming in would be bad.
But now it's safe. You're not contagious.
I don't believe I am contagious. No more fever.
It's been going around. I think Kat ended up being sick yesterday, too.
Oh, really?
A lot of people in the building are sick.
We've got to stop making out with people.
Got to stop the French kissing.
Really have to.
Hey, you did come back for a fun show today, Lisa, and we'll get to that momentarily. But first, though, you guys remember that documentary? It may have won the Oscar. I know it was nominated. It was called Grizzly Man from a few years ago. Werner Herzog made the film. I'm sure you saw it, right, Kevin?
I don't remember.
This is the one about the guy in Alaska who befriended bears.
Oh, right.
That was his whole life.
Yeah.
And, you know, they ended up killing him because, well, they're bears.
That's what bears do.
And they weren't really his friends.
They just let him live while he fed them. And then one day when he looked better than whatever he was serving up, they ate him. So anyway, fascinating documentary, and you definitely should check it out if you haven't seen it. Well, here's another lady who's her name was Kay Grayson, 67 years old, Columbia, North Carolina. She was very similar. She dedicated her life to taking care of what she called her bears. She has an interesting backstory, by the way. She inherited the property that she lived on from a wealthy man who she traveled with on a yacht up and down the East Coast. She was a professional dancer early in her life, but she didn't seem to have any friends or family. She lived by herself in a trailer with no running water, no phone, and no electricity. She's an oddball, right?
She's got nothing going for her.
Except for her bears. She would go outside. She would call for the bears. She would feed them peanuts or dog food or whatever else.
How do you call for the bears? Well, you just go out and go...
I guess. I mean, I guess, you know, bears are smart. I guess they would get to know her and recognize her, and they would know when she called that they could walk. I mean, I'm looking at pictures of her from the 90s, last time somebody was able to photograph her. But I'm looking at pictures of her just standing there in front of a bear handing over a bunch of food. Someone from the newspaper, the Pilot there in North Carolina, tried to do a story on her back in 1997. She told the reporter to sit down in a chair. She took his expensive camera and she handed it to a bear who then pawed the camera and tossed it to the ground. Only then did she pick it up and give it back to the photographer and say it was okay with the bear to take pictures.
Okay.
So she was a little bit loco, right?
Yeah.
I'd say a lot.
Young bears once crawled into her trailer through the window and left muddy paw prints in the room. She did not clean up the mess or the mud. She said it was a reminder of them being there. So she basically just wanted to live with the bears. I mean, again, are we talking mental illness here? Bears aside, the whole trailer with no phone, no electricity, no running water out in the woods, is she a little bit crazy?
Well, and then the story of the camera.
Yeah, I would think so. I would think she didn't have any friends.
She's lost.
No friends, no family. Yeah. Well, they did find her body. Neighbors said she had not been spotted for a couple of weeks, so they asked the police to look in on her. She wasn't there. Bloodhounds located her remains around about 200 yards from her home. They found her body. The authorities say that it looks like the bears dragged her into the woods, but it is unclear so far whether the bears killed her or whether she just died and then they dragged her into the woods.
So maybe she had one fewer friend than she thought. One fewer. Maybe the bear that she thought was her friend was not.
I mean, it's possible she didn't get killed by the bear. You know, it's possible they just saw an opportunity. They saw her laying there dead. I mean, she was 67 years old and she can't have been in the greatest of health.
No,
I can't imagine
sure.
with the way she was living. But they did take her out into the woods. But this article doesn't give too many details about what was left of her. But they're bizarre people in this world, you guys.
Now, the takeaway from that is bears aren't your friend?
I would say that bears are actually wild animals and probably should not be domesticated.
When they say don't feed the bears,
there's
a reason.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
That's part of it because they don't want you to die.
Right.
And bears plus humans equals bears.
Yeah. Always.
That's the math I know.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin to Beecher, shall we?
I don't mean to become complain, but that sounds awful.
I haven't even said anything yet.
She's judgmental.
You guys know Nancy Grace?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes,
my
right?
God, do I hate her.
The worst.
Oh, man.
She has a show on CNN Headline News. She is a longtime former prosecuting attorney, and she just... I don't know. How do you describe her style? Hectoring is the only word I could immediately
come to mind.
I don't even know that word. It's a word where she just cuts everybody off. It is just reduces everybody and just
condescending.
Never cares about anybody else's opinion. Yeah, she just is disgusted with everybody. And she made the mistake of trying to debate Dr. Drew on pot. And she didn't listen to anything he had to say or anybody had to say.
Because he's high.
She's got her mind made up.
So we'll play some highlights of that today, and we're going to talk to Dr. Drew about it. He says he likes her, by the way.
He sure does.
I would like to get an updated status on that. I'd like to see his Facebook page on that. We're going to talk to Matt Money Smith in Phoenix about the Super Bowl.
Fantastic.
We're excited about that. We have Harley from Epic Mealtime in, and I got to be honest, none of us know why. But,
but we like him.
he's doing something, and we love Harley.
It's halftime at the Super Bowl. I know that.
Okay. And it's on YouTube.
It's on YouTube,
I think. Okay. So we'll find out what that is. We have no idea.
I think it involves a bunch of YouTube stars doing funny things and posting and rating the Super Bowl commercials from that day. I think it's all of that.
Okay.
I think.
Is he cooking?
I'm not sure if he's cooking.
All
no,
right.
I haven't heard. Well, I guess we'll ask Harley.
We also have the story of a zombie cat. That's awesome. And the star of his TV show, Backstrom, Rainn Wilson, will be joining us.
Yes.
There. In studio. Very excited about that. It's a new show. It's only been on one time.
Mm-hmm, I saw it.
And it's good. And
yeah.
You should watch it. And you will like it. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
I am you go ahead.
Eating, yeah. Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to tell you about a zombie cat coming up. And we're going to talk to Matt Money Smith, who is in Phoenix for the Super Bowl. Coming up just at the top of the next hour. Right now, we're off here with the Showbiz Beat.
Yeah, that's right.
What's going on?
Well, Tadop Swindler's at it again.
Keep eating.
Yeah, keep eating and choke while you're at it. She's spectacular.
She's a bitch.
Yeah, well, that's what I meant to say.
How dare you?
She has copyrighted the phrase, "this sick beat." You know that horrible part of her Shake It Off song? She goes, you could be dancing this sick beat.
And well, you can tell she's thrilled with herself over that.
Oh, couldn't be happier. And people have been saying, oh, that's a sick beat. And that, you know, forever. That's why it's funny, because she's so out of step.
Right.
With the times. Well, she has taken that phrase and she has copyrighted it. She has trademarked it. No one can use that without paying her now. This sick beat.
I like it.
Really? She didn't make it up, really.
No, she didn't, Lisa. You're absolutely right.
Can you do that with any three words you choose?
I guess you can.
That's weird.
I guess you can just pounce on something and just claim it as your own.
So, in other words, we could go down and trademark, "it's hot out," and boom.
Yeah.
Anyone says that, we get paid.
I'll make those "it's hot out" bumper stickers.
I love it.
Other phrases that she has secured. "Nice to meet you. Where you been?"
That's not true.
That's a joke.
That is true.
That's a joke.
It is true.
Is it the name?
"Cause we never go out of style" is another phrase she has copyrighted.
Are these song
could
titles?
Show you incredible things.
They're from lyrics, yeah.
Lyrics. Could show you incredible things.
Party like it's 1989. Because her album, of course, is called 1989.
Yeah.
So, your point, your disgust this time around is what? That you don't think she should be allowed to trademark those lyrics?
No, certainly not this sick beat.
So, if you were the government, you would have said rejected. That already exists. It's
too
popular.
If I was the government, I would have said it a drone strike.
Yeah.
I would have had her eliminated with extreme prejudice. SEAL Team 6 would be paying her a visit with a double tap if I was the government.
I bought her sick beat T-shirt in the fall. I have one.
You say that like it's good.
It's awesome.
Who would admit that out in public?
Why
to
would
people?
You buy that shirt?
Well, he's not in public, but
that's true.
I know it's shocking to you guys. Taylor Swift has millions of fans who enjoy her music, enjoy her merchandise, enjoy her videos.
They're in seventh grade.
You're a grown-ass man. Why do you own a This Sick Beat T-shirt?
Because I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
No!
Yes, I am.
Wow. Even if you inexplicably like her music, why would you buy the T-shirt like a child?
I'm excited to wear it the next time I go see her in concert. Like you do. Well, I'm just glad she's finally going to be making a little bit of money. It's nice that it's working out for her.
I feel like we should all go home.
Me too.
I feel like that maybe ruined the whole day.
Gut punch. Just solar plexus. Well, we knew it. We said it. We're here to represent it. Bruce Jenner is indeed making the transformation from man to woman. The reason we haven't heard anything about it, the reason we haven't been privy to the details, is because he's saving it all up for...
His reality show.
His reality show, Kevin.
Yes, of course.
The entire transformation will be captured on a series for E! The network, of course, that carries the Keeping Up with the Kardashians and all those spinoffs. He will give him his own unscripted series that will follow his complete transformation. He'll be spilling the dirt during the docu-series, as they're calling it. He's going to put it all out there. Well, I don't want to see it all.
Mm. This is a surprise to me because I thought that he would be so grateful to get away from the Kardashians' reality TV show and having to live in front of the cameras and just go off and be a regular person and have a quiet life.
Hey, look, building vaginas ain't cheap, man.
I guess.
But a lot of these... quote, unscripted shows are scripted. Is he doing that or is he actually...
Well, in this particular case, it's going to be kind of unscripted because he's going to be going through surgeries and stuff and everything. I mean, how do you script that?
Yeah.
It's got to be captured. Word is that he's been thinking about making this change since 1990, but was talked out of it by his now estranged wife, Kris Jenner.
Well, she was afraid he'd get more headlines.
Yeah, right. Can't have that. But once he's a woman, I bet she'll be pimping him out for nude camera covers. Showing his ass, oiling up his ass and getting photos taken.
He has to be, to my mind, the most high-profile person who's ever become transgender.
Those of you that don't recognize his name, when was he the Olympic athlete of the world? Was he just
72?
72?
He was the decathlon winner.
10 different events, right?
Yep. He finished first in all of them.
Yep.
Cover of Wheaties boxes. He was the American athletic hero of the day.
Picture how big Michael Phelps was and Lance Armstrong was and guys like that. He was bigger than that.
Much bigger. And this next story leads me to an idea. It would be a great call-in topic, I think, of things that your significant other was just could not have been more wrong about, just dead wrong. Just you have I told you so rights for the rest of your life. Such is the case between Amanda Peet, the lovely and talented, and her husband, David Benioff. You may not know the name, but he is a television producer, and he created a program that when he was talking to his wife about it, Amanda Peet, she said it was the worst idea she had ever heard. It was positively terrible, and insisted that he give up on the idea. She thought the idea that he came up with basically was Dungeons and Dragons with real people in it. Couldn't be worse, she thought.
Okay.
That little program was called Game of Thrones. So luckily for everyone, he ignored her advice and
She is now a woman enough to admit she tried to kill off one of the greatest TV shows in modern history. So
that's awesome.
That is pretty awesome.
I can see why she thought it wouldn't work, but he also did have in his back pocket that millions of people had bought and enjoyed those books. So
yeah,
there was,
but
certainly was.
The book had a certain audience.
Right.
It had a niche sort of sword and sorcery fantasy audience who liked that kind of stuff. And who would have ever thought it would translate in such a big way to TV screen?
Yeah, totally.
Get such audience, such huge numbers.
And you never know. I would think I would bet against that as well.
Absolutely. Seemed like something you would see at a Comic-Con or something that people would go off on, and that's about it.
But then we said Dancing with the Stars would never work.
See?
So that.
You guys.
That's our record.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Riff Raff. Riff Raff.
Riff Raff.
Oh, Riff Raff. He's 33 years old today.
And a good-looking 33.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys seen him lately?
I have not seen Riff nor Raff lately.
He just put on 55 pounds of muscle.
Wow.
He looks like a UFC fighter now. It's crazy.
I got to check my riffraff Google alert. I can't understand why I'm not getting that update. Adam Lambert is 33 years old today.
How does Bean know how many pounds he's added?
Don't get me started.
Not just he seems like he's in good shape now versus.
It's not even the end of January. Right now I'm just winded. He knew. Winded with Bean.
He knew 55 pounds.
Adam Lambert just signed a new record deal with Warner Brothers Records. New solo deal. Of course, he's still singing for Queen. Just trying to fill in the blanks here if you had any questions about the other birthday boys.
I don't feel like there are blanks.
All right. I'll step down. Sarah, I'll go back to my cereal.
Sarah Gilbert is 40 years old today. Actress Heather Graham turns 45. Sam Trammell from True Blood, or Trammell, 46 years old. Oprah Winfrey is 61. And Tom Selleck is 70 years old today. F you, Tom Selleck. You don't get to look like that at 70. God damn it. Damn it, Selleck. You're ruining everything for
Stop
everyone.
It.
Stop it. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Earlier today, we were talking about Taylor Swift being back in the news. By the way, her album, Kevin, 1989, is back at number one this week for the 10th week.
Yeah, don't care.
Sold over 4 million copies.
That's your argument that she's good because she's popular, and I give you Justin Bieber.
I'm not making that argument at all. I'm just
throwing that out there.
To put in context, that's where Taylor Swift's at in the world right now, and now she's making a little bit more money because she has trademarked a bunch of lyrics from her songs on this new album with the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office. Now, I know that you have some sort of juvenile hate for Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
But
I think it's in direct opposition to your juvenile love for her.
But I have reasons for loving her. You
As
don't
do
have
I.
any reasons for disliking her. From a business standpoint, though, it makes a lot of sense if you have a phrase that is identified with you, like when Pat Riley identified, trademarked three-peat. You know, when Michael Jackson trademarked This Is It. I mean, you trademark things that you use that become identified with you so that other people can't put them on T-shirts and make money off of them.
She trademarked the sick beat.
Right,
people have been talking about sick beats forever.
Absolutely.
But she put the word this in front of it.
But it's hard to argue.
She put it in a number one hit song that is now identified with her and did it in a distinctive way.
Mm.
She's not preventing you from saying this sick beat or anyone from saying it. She's just saying you can't put it on a coaster. You know what I mean? She's just saying, I'm going to make money off of it.
Well, let's ask her what she's saying if you don't
mind. Yeah, let's bring her up. She's got her on the phone. I love it.
Hey, Taylor.
Oh, my God.
Yes, you can believe it.
I can't believe you're on the phone.
Yes, you can.
I can't believe it. We're talking on the phone.
Taylor, you can't be surprised by everything.
I'm talking to this daddy. You hear me on the other end?
Yes, we can hear you. That's how it works. That's
how cell phones work.
Oh, my God.
Right.
Okay. So, Taylor, what about this? What about trademarking this sick beat and Party Like It's 1999?
Oh, is that a cash register?
What's?
Thank you. Send me a check.
We have to pay you to say it?
Yeah.
No, I thought we could say it, but we just can't make money off of it.
No, not so much.
We can't say. I didn't say it.
Nope. Say it is another phrase not copyrighted.
You've copyrighted the two words say and it?
Yeah, thank you. Send me a check.
Well, how much do you get per mention?
I get 1.3 cents for every time you say anything I've copyrighted.
Well, how many things did you copyright this week with the Patent Office?
Patent Office, that's one of mine.
Can't copyright the Patent Office.
Thank you. That's 2.6 cents.
It seems like that body, that office, can I say that office?
Sure.
Existed before you came along.
Yeah, but no one thought to put it on to copyright it, so you can't put it on a coaster or a T-shirt or a saddle or a bumper sticker. Or a Mylar balloon.
I'm going to get one of those patent office Mylar balloons. That sounds like a fun time.
Tampon or flip-flop, sunscreen, anal fissure cream.
I'm sorry?
Oh, wow.
I have it all. I have it all locked up.
So are you just going to spend the rest of your life just suing people who use expressions that you've trademarked?
Yep.
That's it?
Well, it's pretty easy. I have lawyers to do all, so I just have to sit back and wait for the checks.
Uh-huh. And how did you decide? Like, did you just go through the dictionary and just look for words? I mean, how did you come up with all these things that you chose?
I just thought about stuff people say all the time, and I say, I can make money off that.
Right, but by your very definition, they were already saying them all the time.
Sorry, very definition. That's
what?
One of mine.
You can't own that.
I just did. It's so crazy, but you can do it. This dick beat, part like it's in 1989. Uh-huh. Oh, Prince is pissed about that one.
Yeah, I'm sure.
He did kind of beat you to it.
No, 99. I'm 89.
Yeah, we got
oh,
that.
Oh, I see. I got
That's
you.
10 different.
Right, we got
All
that.
Right.
Yeah. Let's see. Because we never go out of style. You could show you incredible things. Mm-hmm. Nice to meet you. Where you been? How can you? That's another one.
How can you copyright nice to meet you where you been?
Because I wrote it down on a piece of paper and I sent it to these people.
Huh. It's that easy.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, hello party people. Sorry.
No.
Why say that all the time on this show, Taylor?
I know. You should have copyrighted it.
Damn it.
No. Hey, don't forget, we want to send you to Barcelona, Spain to see the band U2. That's what you get if you win K-Rock's World Tour 2015 Destination Number 3. And just for trying, we'll give you tickets to go see them at the Forum June 3rd, 9 o'clock this morning. And then again at noon, 3, 6, and 9, your chance to win local U2 tickets and be in the drawing for the trip to Spain. It's a pretty good deal. Get the details at K-Rock.com.
I don't know much about Nancy Grace. I know that she rubs me the wrong way in every way possible.
Yeah.
What channel is she on, B?
She's on HLN.
HLN. Okay.
Yeah,
so that's
she comes
the same...
on. Her show is right before Dr. Drew's show every night.
Okay. All right. So she's been on a tear to prove that marijuana is the devil's drug.
Yes, that's correct.
She debated 2 Chainz in one of the weirdest things I've ever seen. And her way of arguing is finding a picture of a parent getting the kid high. And then she'd go, look at that. Pot does that, which is disingenuous at best, right? I mean, it's a stupid argument. Stupid.
Right. Yeah. Any specific case is anecdotal evidence compared to the bigger picture of the millions of people who are using pot recreationally.
So now Nancy Grace is doing a different segment on pot, and she pulled a headline of a guy who had a pot cookie and then killed his wife.
So, well, that happens a lot,
so,
Kevin.
Yeah, so now that's her argument is, that's pot, so everyone
Told
stop
you.
It.
Oh, my God.
Which is insane. So she's on, she's got a couple of different people. I think there's 3 people, including Dr. Drew. The first clip is not Dr. Drew, but I want you to hear her style, and I want you to hear his refute, which is awesome.
That's a police 911 call that you just heard. So are you suggesting that somehow it's not real because it was written about on the internet? Are you saying the 911 call is not real?
About the guy with the pot cookie that killed his wife.
No, I'm saying your argument is not real because you take isolated instances of aberrant behavior and try to make them standardized for
really?
All marijuana users. Have you no conscience? When will this stop?
Yes.
When will you own up to the fact that millions and millions of Americans can light up a joint and have been since the age of Woodstock without driving
you know
recklessly or
endangering
people?
I was really just looking for an answer to the question, but obviously you're stoned.
There you go.
Oh,
there
yeah.
you go.
By the way, didn't he give an answer to the question that was very well considered
yes.
and thought out and completely responsive to her question?
I believe he did.
Yes. So she calls him stoned, then she turns on
well,
Drew.
Because he disagrees with her. He must be high.
So then she turns on Drew, and Drew has looked at the police report of what happened in that house the day the guy shot.
No, he looked at facts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The story you dragged out about the man eating the marijuana cookie could just as easily be a drug withdrawal syndrome from the prescription drugs he was taking. In fact, the cannabis may have just been incidental. Now, I'm not saying cannabis is not associated with psychotic episodes. I'm not saying that the forensic pathologist is not right. There are human consequences from this drug. But that has nothing to do with the argument about whether it should be legal or illegal.
Dr. Drew.
Nancy.
I'm a big fan. But you're in our house now.
Yeah!
What the hell does that even mean?
I'm going to trademark you're in our house now.
You should.
All right.
I guess what she's saying is because you're on my show, I have to be right. Well, we're doing this to be on your show. You can be right.
You can't just throw out a fact.
You don't get to talk.
Okay.
That's the other
Norm, just try to get it out of your system so I can address Drew on this. Dr. Drew, you can't just throw out a fact unless you have backup for it. Now, do you have any evidence that this man that just guns down his wife in front of his children was having withdrawal from some other drug?
In the police report that you say is the factual matter that you've taken off the internet, there were empty pill bottles found in his room.
To Justin Fryman, let's try to get the facts here, because there's an empty pill bottle in his room does not mean that he killed her. I want to see Dr. Drew, please.
Now she's mad at her own staff because they're putting up a picture of the story someplace else.
Yeah, they use file footage, right?
Oh, well, can you imagine
nightmare
working on her show?
Oh, my God.
Oh,
she's a
shrew.
Because he's having a medical withdrawal from drugs. The facts in this case are that he was high after this pot cookie. His blood indicates no other drug. There's no
Therefore,
other...
Therefore, in withdrawal from the medicines he had been prescribed.
All right. Now she's getting mad because Dr. Drew's making some points.
Dr. Yep. Drew, you've helped so many people.
Yes, B.
Sounds like she's going to cry right there, by the way. Like, she's so disappointed in Drew. You know what I think this comes from? And maybe this isn't fair, because Nancy Grace obviously has been on TV for a long time, so she should have gotten this out of her system. She sounds to me like she is still a prosecutor, and that she is just used to just hammering witnesses to force them to say what she needs them to say.
Even if her premise is completely bogus.
That is her style on television, and I just don't think it works.
And so many people look to you. You say it's extremely addictive, but that's okay to legalize it. I don't understand that.
I do not think there's any logic into calling a drug good or bad. If you want to call a drug good or bad, then my God, we have to illegalize alcohol and tobacco, too.
Okay,
that would determine
No, but you would draw the line with meth, wouldn't you? Would you say
in Portugal right now, they're having good results with legalization of everything. It's not for me to decide the laws. We deal with the health consequences.
Okay.
There are going to be some dire health consequences from legalization. There will be, and we will deal with it. But that's not up to me to decide the law. I'm not a legislator.
But you're advocating
the
legalization.
The thing that's so important is...
I'm not advocating anything. I'm advocating that the people should have what they want.
That was not good for her. She did not want to hear that.
Interesting.
That the people could decide, and if the people wanted to make it legal, he'd deal with the fallout as a doctor.
Nancy is not about what the people want. She's about what Nancy wants.
Right.
Oh, I hate her. I can't wait to talk to Drew, because he told us last time he liked her. No way, right?
No.
No way. I feel like they didn't put a lot of work into the end of this song. Just sort of...
Shh. Hey, it's my favorite part.
Sort of fades. Now, 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:55.
We're going to go out to Glendale, Arizona, practically Kevin's hometown, to talk to our friend Matt Money Smith from Super Bowl number 49. That's coming up next here on K-Rock, and our friend Harley from Epic Mealtime next hour as well. First, though, Rob's got the showbiz beat on a Thursday.
Glendale! You say that, don't you?
Yeah,
Glendale,
I guess you do.
Arizona? This Friday night at 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose, Kevin Smith and I are once again taking stage with Hollywood Babylon, our live show where we talk about all things show business, and we'd love to have you come out and join us at the Improv on Melrose. Improv.com is the place to go for more details and for your tickets for Friday night at 10 p.m. We always have a good time, and we like to think that the audience does too, so come join us, won't you? Speaking of the Super Bowl... As always, you can make a lot of what they call proposition wagers, prop bets, on different cyber gaming sites like betonline.ag. They're offering up probably the best prop bets. coin toss, of course. Color of Gatorade thrown on the winning coach. Type of hoodie worn by Bill Belichick. Sleeves versus no sleeves. Length of the national anthem, of course. That's a famous one. You can bet on who Barack Obama will pick to win the Super Bowl.
Oh, right, because he does an interview every year before the game.
That's right. He gives his take before
the game. And by the way, the president is the worst at picking games. Do you ever follow him around the NCAA tournament?
No.
He's terrible at picking games.
Well, he's not a...
I feel like most people are terrible
at it. He doesn't work in Vegas. He doesn't set the line, so
He doesn't have all the time in the world to maybe follow all the stats. But just off the top of his head, you can almost always bet against Barack Obama and do okay.
But my favorite prop bet by far is boobs or no boobs.
Oh, Katy Perry?
Will Katy Perry show cleavage or no cleavage during her Super Bowl halftime show?
See, now, like, what's cleavage? Now you're getting into particulars. Like,
yeah.
How much?
Like, is an inch at the top of her boobs? Is that considered cleavage or no?
I don't believe so. I think they're talking about full exposure or no exposure.
All right. Like
neckline?
Right.
Or plungy.
Or plungy.
All right.
That's what they're going for. Now,
can we put it in a request?
The smart money apparently is on boobs. They're thinking
good.
There will be boobs. You got.
So in other words, we're far enough past Janet Jackson now that the Super Bowl is willing to experiment a little bit more with the ladies.
Yeah, she's going to have a bikini top on, they're guessing. That's what the smart money is saying, because it's a -500 money line on yes boobs.
Okay.
You got to bet 500 to win one.
Oh, wow. That's almost a guarantee in sports betting.
The no boobs prop will get you 350. It's plus 350. You bet $100, you make $350 if she does not bring the girls out to play. So,
all right.
Take that in mind before you lay down your money, your hard-earned money on her cans.
I can't bet against my heart though. So,
I know. So I feel.
You know?
I can't bet against the Eagles or Katy Perry's boobs.
Kevin, you have often said that any sporting event can be
oh, sure.
riveting if you have enough bets on it. Like,
yeah.
if you're betting at the end of every quarter, for instance, you know, or total yardage, or there's a million things you can bet on in the Super Bowl, you will be endlessly entertained no matter who wins.
True, that's good fun.
Or you can watch the football game.
There's that,
which is another aspect of the Super Bowl that rarely gets talked about anymore.
There's that as well.
There's an actual football game that goes on.
There is a Super Bowl party on the island that a lot of people that I know are going to, but I think I will stay at home and watch it by myself.
Oh, that's a surprise.
No. I would have picked you as going. Such a social dude. I thought you'd be there doing a keg stand.
It's just that I think a lot of those people are just going for the party. They're going for the food and to catch up with neighbors and stuff, and that's not how you want to see a crucial game.
No, you're a hardcore football
guy. I want to pay attention.
Always have been. I remember you talking about football way back when Seattle had their first winning season. I remember you talking about football.
Well, I wasn't here then, but I have been a big fan of those for over 15 years, and I'm very excited about the game. And it's, you know what I'm saying? You just don't want to be in a place where people maybe aren't all there to watch the game.
Sure.
Yeah, I hear you. This is where we need Jim Rome saying, never underestimate how much people hate the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, I forgot to pull that.
Shoot. Yeah.
My bad.
Do you know Eddie Van Halen? We talked about him yesterday. It was his birthday. Did you know he's an immigrant?
No.
I didn't either. He's a Dutch immigrant.
Dutch?
Huh. Born in Dutchland.
Dutchland.
Or Dutchland.
Sure.
As they call it. He moved to America as a kid. He was born in Holland, grew up in Holland, then moved to the U.S.
Huh.
Become one of the greatest guitar players of all time. And so in order to celebrate that, he is doing a talk at the Smithsonian National Museum of American History on February 12th. Where it's part of their series, What It Means to Be an American. And he talks about moving from Holland to the U.S. and how he acclimated and how he became an American.
Interesting.
I thought it was, too. You'll be able to see it streamed online the next day. If you go to their website, you can check that out. And more proof that Lindsay Lohan just doesn't understand. She's the best.
Oh, no.
You know, she owes the court a great deal of community service.
Yes.
She was sentenced to 240 hours of community service in connection to that accident in 2012 where she plowed into the back of an 18-wheeler. She is well short of that. But her lawyer showed up in court yesterday saying she's very close to accomplishing the 240 hours because she did a bunch of meet and greets after her play in London, Speed the Plow. She met with a lot of fans.
What?
And so they think that should be considered community service.
When is that? How is that community service?
I don't know, but I meet with people all the time at the Hollywood Babylon, and I'm stockpiling that. If that's the case, I'm going to get everyone to sign something, and I'm just going to put it in an envelope and just wait for my day to roll around.
That's absurd.
I'll be here. I said hi to this person. Yeah, the judge was like, "That we're going to do a little investigation into that. I don't
that
know
seems
really
like that may
not
be community service.
Yeah, I think she's confused. Today's celebrity birthdays. Rapper Riff Raff is 33 years old today. You know, he put on 55 pounds of muscle.
I heard
muscle.
That.
Yeah. It's in all the newspapers.
Sure. Like Adam, to stay current.
Adam Lambert is 33 years old. Sarah Gilbert turns 40 years old. Heather Graham, lovely and talented, is 45. Sam Trammell from True Blood is 46 years old. Oprah Winfrey is 61. And the infuriating Tom Selleck celebrates his 70th birthday today.
Still it's a good band.
Infuriating Tom Selleck. He's just infuriating. He just looks great. He seems to be on top of his game. He's got a hit TV series.
Sure seems like the nicest guy in the world.
Nicest guy in the world. 70 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Rainn Wilson joins us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show from Epic Mealtime. Our friend Harley Morenstein will be in here in a few minutes. Right now, though, let's go out to Glendale, Arizona, site of this weekend's Super Bowl 49. Matt Money Smith is on the line for the Petrus Money Radio Show. Matt, are you happy to be there, or are you just showing up so you don't get fined?
I'm just doing this interview. So
look, I was watching a whole bunch of the NFL Network yesterday, and it is insane. It's like a carnival has sprung up around where the game is going to be played. I mean, they got climbing walls and fireworks and theme parks. I mean, it's insane what they built down there in Glendale.
They have done that. Well, actually, I'm in downtown Phoenix, and that's what is even more remarkable about what they've done here. They have the carnival out in Glendale here downtown, because I'm doing the TV show for NFL.com from the convention center. There are about 10 concert stages. I think Zac Brown was on one of them last night. I mean, big acts playing every single night.
10 concerts?
Yeah, I mean, concerts and streets are shut down and giant parties in the middle of the street. It really, they've done a great job. It's a great city. I mean, you guys know this. You've been out here plenty enough,
sure.
Especially you, Kevin.
Yep.
I mean, it's a great city to have a party like this where there's a ton of room for people to spread out and enjoy themselves.
It's funny to me that you are, what, 30 minutes away from the actual arena?
Yeah, that's pretty common when you think about it. I mean, you know, because I call these games, I go to all these different NFL cities, and when you think about, like, you know,
yeah,
Denver and where that stadium is, Detroit, it's right in the middle of downtown, Chicago, but, you know, I mean, for the most part, New York, it's in New Jersey. A lot of these stadiums, I mean, San Francisco, where it'll be next year, it's all the way out in Santa Clara, so
right,
it's kind of the case for a lot of these stadiums. They're sort of in the middle of the sticks.
Now, Matt, I saw a breakdown that I thought was interesting the other day about who people are going to be rooting for in this game. And the breakdown that I saw was about what you'd expect. Almost all, I mean, all of the states in the West are rooting for Seattle. All the states in the East are rooting for New England. And then in the middle, they're kind of mixed up a little bit. It was 30 states for New England, 20 for Seattle. But in terms of traveling fans, it seems like Seattle kind of has an advantage because Phoenix is so much closer. What kind of vibe do you get walking around in terms of who's represented?
They're both represented, certainly. I mean, you know, obviously the Boston sports fan is never going to disappoint. And the Seattle Seahawks, you know, because, and again, Bean, you know this, the long-suffering Seattle sports scene that has been rescued, you know, by this Seahawks team that finally got that city a championship, their first since, what, 79, I think, with the Sonics.
Yeah, that's right.
They've really latched on. And I'm not saying they're bad fans because they didn't support them before, but there really wasn't a lot of reason to. So now that they have that team, this is the team that, you know, Seattle sports fan has decided identifies them. And, yeah, they travel everywhere. There are those weird-looking fluorescent green shirts all over the city, and it's funny you mentioned. I'm pretty surprised by that breakdown of who's rooting for who, because the Patriots really are kind of the bad guys of the NFL.
Yeah, I love to hate them,
especially this
week. Even casual fans are seeing a lot of things that are negative about the Patriots on TV.
Yeah, I mean, they are the evil empire. Bill Belichick, not likable, you know, very curt with the media, got busted for Spygate, which really was cheating. Bad, a bad, bad deal for the NFL and for the Patriots when he was taping opposing teams' practices and walkthroughs and stealing their signals. And now you have the deflated footballs, which really isn't that big of a deal, but because it's the Patriots, it is a big deal. So, yeah, it's I'm surprised that there's that many states you know, that suggest they're supporting the Patriots. But then again, I'm being hypocritical now. Tom Brady is one of those galvanizing sports stars that, you know, you root for him as opposed to the Patriots.
And he's so dreamy.
He's pretty. He's pretty good looking.
So, that's, God, he's good looking.
He it's really is.
Kind of crazy.
You just look at a guy like that and you go, wow, that's not. What?
That's not real.
What's going on?
Matt, let me ask you this. There's not much of a history of these two teams playing together. I think, what, they've only met maybe one time in the last 5 or 6 years or something like that, and Seattle won that game, but it was very, very, you know, one of those last-second pull-it-out wins for Russell Wilson. So what do you expect to see these two? I mean, it's a phenomenal offense versus one of the best defenses of all time.
Yeah, it's going to be, most people think it'll be close. Unfortunately, very rarely do we get a Super Bowl that's close, but the last one, you know, the last couple we've had here, when you think about it, the David Tyree, who was the Giant that caught the football on his head on the
right.
fourth down when Eli Manning, you know, to beat the Patriots and ruin their perfect season, that was here in Arizona. So maybe we can get a replay, that looks something like that, where it does in fact come down to the final possession. In the final minute of the final quarter. They do look like the two, I mean, look, they're the two number one seeds. We got it last year and it didn't work out. This year we get it again. People felt like these were the two best teams in the playoffs and they're the two best teams, that end up making the Super Bowl. Although the Seahawks, of course, make it on wild circumstances with all the breaks they got in that Green Bay game to even make it here. Defense usually wins. And even though the Patriots have a much better defense than they have in years past, the Seattle defense is special. I mean, it's one of the best we've ever seen. And to think that they're going to somehow let down now at this particular time when I think they're averaging, opponents are averaging about 13 to 16 points against them. Yeah, and I think it's 16 or 19 total in the second half of the last seven games. 19 points total in
wow.
the second half. So it's hard to envision a defense like that breaking down and losing a game.
Yeah, if they're able to hold the Patriots and win this game, I think people are going to start putting them in close proximity to the 85 Bears in terms of defense. What are your duties for NFL Network, Money? What are we going to be seeing you do?
Well, I'm doing the show for NFL.com. So if you log on to NFL.com, bam, right there, starting at 10 a.m. today, the player immediately launches. Yesterday was a great day. We had David Faraday out here because he's here for the golf tournament, which is happening. Rodney Harris. I mean, just the list is long. Today, I think it's Michael Irvin, Warren Moon, everybody and anyone, and that runs from 10 to 1 p.m.
Who do you,
back there in California.
Who do you love the most? Because a lot of times you run across a lot of athletes, but somebody stands out as a favorite.
Well, Michael Irvin's a blast. I mean, he's also terrifying because he's got the strongest hands that I've ever experienced. And when he gets excited, he grabs you.
Yeah.
And you know me, I'm not a big guy.
No, you're so sort of slight.
I really do fear that he could break my arm if he's too excited. So actually, you know what? Today, last year I had him rip a phone book in half.
Okay.
Oh, my
year,
God.
I forced one of our production assistants to go to Home Depot and get a piece of rebar because I'm convinced he can hold a Superman and send rebar.
I and can't God wait to watch that.
He's willing to try.
So you're just giving him something else to break instead of you.
You're absolutely right.
That is awesome. Hey, are you staying for the game, Matt?
No, I like watching the game on TV. I mean, you know, Kevin and I used to go to a lot of these Super Bowls together, and the games are fun. It's great to be in the middle of it, but with, you know, the advancement and the 50 different cameras and the cable cams and doing the radio show on Monday, I kind of like to have the same experience of people listening
sure.
to the show have, and it's so great to watch games on TV now. They have done such a great job of producing these games that when you're there in person, you just feel like you're, it's stupid to say, but you really do feel like you're missing out on something.
Gotcha. And you'll be broadcasting from Radio Row this afternoon doing the Petros and Money Show on AM 570 starting at 3 o'clock, correcto?
Yep, absolutely. 3 o'clock. And Kurt Warner's coming by. A lot of people here.
Plus, you'll have a broken arm, so you got that to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got that going. Or I'll have a rebar bumped it over my head because Irvin will be upset.
All right. Well, let's hope it's a great game, Matt. Thank you so much for squeezing us in. We know how busy you are, man. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Anytime, guys. Thank you.
If you are one of the 6.5 million plus subscribers to the YouTube channel of Epic Mealtime, then you know and love our next guest. He is the creator and host of the program, the Sauce Boss himself. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back to the Kevin DeMain Show, Harley Morenstein.
Thank you so much. Thank
you.
The only thing I wake
friend?
Up early for is being on this.
That's very
we
nice of you.
Appreciate that. How have you been? How's your beard? How's your life?
I've been good. The beard's good.
He's beard's pretty strong.
He's about 2.5 years old now. So
refer to it as he.
You're aware of that, right?
Yeah.
Oh, please. Okay. Look at it. It's alive. It's,
look at it. It is definitely a thing.
And it's stinky. It's a living thing. It's definitely not a she.
Okay. All right.
I don't even know if you could get through it to his face.
Yeah. That's a good point.
For the people at home, it smells horrible.
You have been on, please stop talking about what your beard smells like, Harley. People are eating. You've been on Drunk History before a couple times, right?
On Drunk History? No. Yeah.
How have you not? You could play Rutherford B. Hayes. You could play James Garfield. Yeah. You could play Ulysses S. Grant. Why are they not casting you for all of our U.S. presidents in the 1800s?
Yeah, you're right. Why have a lot of people not cast in me? That's the question. I blame the smelliness of my beard.
Well, all right. I know our Drunk History fans listen from time to time. Derek, if you're out there, seriously, Harley needs to be on Drunk History. He would be awesome at that.
I need.
You are going to be in Tusk, though, the new Kevin Smith movie, which is very exciting.
Yeah, and I got to play a Canadian, which is interesting because a lot of times, you know, early on I would go to auditions and I'd be like, yeah, so reading the lines, I'd be like, no, too Canadian. Yeah. They'd be like, turn your Canadian off. I even went for, like, speech lessons to control it. And you know what they said? The difference is, apparently, you open your mouth more. Like, if I open my mouth more, I will sound more American.
Okay.
Like, pants, apple, dance. This is Montreal. This is Canada. My accent.
Okay.
Pants, apple, dance.
Well, that sounds natural.
It doesn't look natural.
No, I'm not good at it. That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm not on Drunk History or anything. I was in Tusk because I got to play a Canadian. And it's exciting.
Right, let me ask this question, because when they asked if we would have you on, we were like, yeah, we love Harley. Let's have him on. And then they tried to tell us what you were doing, and I don't – what are you doing?
You mean this weekend?
Yeah.
So there's
I don't understand it fully.
The big game on Sunday.
Sure. What? Why haven't we heard about that?
So YouTube is having basically at halftime a live streamed YouTube event that focuses around the Super Bowl ads.
Okay.
And I have the pleasure of hosting that. And Freddie Wong's going to be there. Rhett and Link, Toby Turner. If you don't know who these people are, you're probably over 45 years old.
Yes, they're all huge YouTube stars.
And there's about 25 YouTubers with a collection of 60 million subscribers. And we're putting on a live stream show at halftime.
Interesting.
And things are getting crazy because it's being pit against like Katy Perry and the Super Bowl halftime show. When really it was meant as something that's like, you know, an alternative option, something else. You know, there's a lot of people there with a huge fan base. And so we're putting on something cool.
All right, look, I don't have any doubt that your show is going to be excellent. What do you have to offer me that is better than Katy Perry's boobs?
More blue hair, more whipped cream.
Okay.
No, actually, neither of those are true.
Okay.
Yeah.
You don't know.
My beard will be there.
All right. So do you have access to these commercials like already? Like, how are you preparing them to, you know, play and talk about and vote on and everything like that on the actual day that they first air on the Super Bowl?
I have not seen any of these ads yet.
Good.
Or anything like that. I was given scripts and stuff, mm-hmm. but instead I'm going to wing it.
Yeah, you don't do scripts.
Yeah, so tune in. I'm going to wing it. I'll probably mess up. So it's something that you don't want to miss. Yeah, it'll be ugly.
So just on the front page of YouTube, then, their homepage is where we'll find it? Or do we go to Epic Mealtime? Where do we go?
AdBlitz. So youtube.com/AdBlitz. Yeah. AdBlitz, ADBLITZ. That's the... that's the whole thing. And people will be able to vote on their favorite commercials and stuff like that. And
that you go with Zed.
I do too.
Doesn't make you too Canadian.
Oh, that wasn't mine.
All right. Harley's going to get his agent on the phone to get some more information for us. The program is going to be halftime at the Super Bowl. It's this Sunday. It'll probably be around, 5 o'clock, something like that. Harley Morenstein is here from the Epic Mealtime. We'll take a quick break. More with him right after this on K-Rock. Harley Morenstein in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is the host of the YouTube Halftime Show this Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday. At halftime, why not click on over to YouTube and see Harley along with tons of how many other YouTube channel leaders do you have on
this
special?
There's going to be 25 YouTubers with a collection of 60 million subscribers, so it's exciting. I mean, if I wasn't on it, I would be definitely checking it out.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And the coolest thing about the AdBlitz Super Bowl YouTube thing is, you know, you could watch the halftime show and also maybe have your mobile device, your iPhone, or something.
Why not?
You know.
By the way, the half times have become long enough. You could probably pause one and just watch YouTube and then go back to it. I mean,
yeah.
That's true.
It's like an hour. Halftime's like an hour.
We're all about the multitasking now, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, Harley, I know that you you have been studying up on your Super Bowl commercials, and there's definitely a formula to the commercials that work for the Super Bowl, and a lot of them involve puppies. Am I right?
Puppies. It's like I'm obsessed, and I've never taken the time to watch the Puppy Bowl.
Right.
I just like to know that something like that happens, you know? And, yeah, that's the key.
I think the key to liking it is not watching it, I think.
Is it?
Yeah, I think.
Yeah. Well, I know that puppies work really well in ads.
Okay.
Old people.
Yes.
Can I say sex?
Yes.
Of course. Yeah, okay. We've all seen GoDaddy ads.
Okay. It's odd that you would put that in a question and say it. So, yes. You can.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was going to say that there's lots of, you know, there's lots of reasons that your ad might be successful or not. And I kind of play up a character in the halftime show on the Ad Blitz thing that, you know, as this ad exec guru, which I am not at all.
Well, that's why we like you. You just go, this is the character. You know anything about it?
No, I don't.
I love that.
I asked you this off the air, and I was really surprised by your answer, if you wouldn't mind me re-asking. What's your relationship as a Canadian with the Super Bowl?
I love it. I came from a football family. I played football. My brother played football. Canadian football, I have to say that. So I played like 10 years of Canadian football equals about a month of American football.
But it's this is a stupid question, but I mean, it's on the TV, and it's a big deal up there?
Yeah, it's absolutely like Monday morning. People in Canada are talking about the Super Bowl the same like they would here. It's, you know, it's a big deal. It's the Super Bowl is a bigger deal than
is the NFL is big.
Yeah, well,
Canada.
I like my family, my friends, they gather on Sundays and watch all the football games. You know, order pizza, get food, sit
that?
Down and do it
okay.
all day long. My brother is a ginormous Broncos fan. You know, he stands up, he lays his Broncos jerseys out in front of the TV, and you just, if you step back, you wouldn't know he's in Canada.
So how do your friends and family react to the Canadian Football League? Are they as equally enamored of them, or do they look at them as kind of second class, not quite the NFL?
Well, you know, the Canadian Football League, it's like no, you know, no way, Marco's in the CFL. We know Marco. He lives down the street, and my dad did work on his house, and now he's a quarterback for the Alouettes.
Tell us the funny stat about the Canadian Football League that you told us off the air about the teams.
Oh, that there's like 19 teams, and two of them are called the Rough Riders.
Now, how is that allowed, and why is that not confusing?
Two out of nine have the same name.
Yeah, there's a team. I am not up to date on my CFL, but I'm pretty sure there's still a team called the Edmonton Eskimos.
Okay. Okay, I love it.
Yeah, and yeah, it's, you know, small. It's small league. Bigger balls.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's much bigger. The football.
Well, Tom Brady would hate that.
There's a center yard line.
There's
250-yard lines and a center yard line, so the field is 10 yards longer.
I'm confused.
And
wow.
End zones are much deeper, right?
We kind of – sometimes something's great, but you got to just do things so that it's yours.
Yeah, sure.
You know, these are like prime examples of that.
Okay. Hey, Harley, on Epic Mealtime, did you ever do a show on what to eat at Super Bowl parties?
Last year we did we made a stadium on the Bud Light boat. Out of Bud Light beers and tons of snacks. It's a snack stadium. I'm sure you've seen many of them on the internet if you've just Googled like Super Bowl food. It's a ginormous stadium with tons of snacks and food and like a field in the middle. And
I feel like I need that.
Yeah, we had like 40 people eat it. So yeah, that's the the Epic Mealtime Super Bowl special last year.
Is it too late to order that for this year? I think I need that.
Well, no, we could do it. It just takes like 48 hours and $900.
So you won't totally be worth it. You won't be doing any cooking on YouTube this weekend, though.
No, but
no,
you know what?
He's going to be playing a character, Bean.
Yeah, I'm going to be playing the ad exec, the number one ad exec. But you know what? We always figure out a way to include some food.
Sure.
I always try and make it happen.
All right, here's a list of the CFL teams. Associate producer Christine just pulled up. Let's see how good you are, Harley. Name the Hamilton CFL team.
The Tiger Cats.
Very nice. Ottawa?
Hold on. What is a Tiger Cat? Isn't every tiger a tiger cat?
I don't know.
I don't mean either.
Okay.
That's a great question. It's not like it's the Tiger Cubs. I mean, the Tiger Cats doesn't make any sense.
I know. It's
it?
A question I had since I was like 8, but that's the first time I've said it out loud to other people.
All right. Who is the Ottawa CFL team?
Is that the Rough Riders?
No, believe it or not.
No, the Ottawa, what is it?
It's the Red Blacks.
Oh, you know, I think they used to be the Rough Riders, and they changed it because there was another Rough Riders.
I think you're right, because Saskatchewan still has the Rough Riders. Yeah, that's my question for you, Hurley. You're the Canadian. What's a Red Black?
I don't know.
Okay.
It sounds racist.
All right. Some of these even Americans, though. Like, I think many of us have heard of the British Columbia Lions. I think we've heard of the Toronto Argonauts are kind of famous. All right, let me give you one more.
That's because those are our biggest, like, BC as a whole province, not just, and Toronto. You know, Toronto's like, that's what we got. That's like
major
our big city.
Yeah.
We could do it too, guys.
You are 1-1. Let's see how you do on the final one, the tiebreaker. Winnipeg.
The Blue Bombers?
Yes!
Oh, yeah.
And what's a Blue Bomber?
I don't know.
Okay,
I don't know
what's happening.
It's the only reason why I remember them is because they're so weird.
It is funny how we don't know what any of these team names mean.
Yeah, the Montreal.
Like, what the hell's a Red Black?
The Montreal Alouettes.
What's an Alouette?
French for something, right?
That's a bird.
Okay.
An Alouette.
Is it like eagle-ish?
It's, I think it's just, it's an Alouette.
Strong and proud? Oh, no, so it's a little...
Well, does an Alouette sound
no,
strong and proud?
No, it sounds kind of weak. It sounds a little flimsy, I gotta be honest.
We have learned so much about Canadian football today. I was not expecting this at all. All right, we're almost out of time. One more plug for the YouTube halftime show. It's this Sunday, Harley. This is your big chance. Take it away. Tell people why they should be tuning in.
YouTube Ad Blitz. You got to check it out. It's gonna be awesome. It's the first time YouTube has ever done this. It is, as we said outside, the most important event in internet history.
I like it.
So you might want to check it out.
I like it because you can't prove that.
No, definitely not.
But it could be true. So who knows? I like
well,
that.
Well, if you're hosting, we're in, Harley. Good luck on Sunday. Have fun, man. We'll see you soon.
Thank you.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 7:55.
I wish I could enjoy life as much as Harley Morenstein enjoys life. He seems like he's having a blast, doesn't he?
He is.
Yeah.
He is.
Well, he's better.
He's genuinely having fun.
With his life.
That's why. You know why? He does things.
Well, there's that.
He doesn't live on an island. He lives amongst the living.
Yeah,
he's
I guess
there
you're
in
right.
Zombie Island with you.
Just but he's also
stumbling around.
Talented and smart, and he's got a lot of other things going for him that I don't have. Too,
sure, so. There's that.
Hey, very excited about Dr. Drew on the program today. Also, Rainn Wilson is going to be joining us, and keep listening for your chance to maybe go see the band U2 in a little town that we like to call
Barcelona.
First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Thursday.
Oh. Turns out we were all wrong about Justin Bieber.
What?
Now I feel bad.
He's not a dick?
No, he's a great guy.
What?
What?
Yes.
When did we come to this realization?
He's not who he was pretending to be. For the past few years, he's just been pretending to be someone else because he has so many feelings going on inside. It's all been just a cover, man. He's just trying to protect himself because he's so sensitive.
So he was playing a character, putting on that tough outer shell
to protect his soft, sensitive nature. It all came out in the video yesterday. Didn't you see the video?
No.
I'm not who I was pretending to be. And why I say pretending is often we pretend to be something we're not as a cover-up of what we're truly feeling inside. And there was a lot of feelings going on in there.
Yeah.
Just being young and growing up in this business is hard. Mm-hmm. It's growing up in general is hard. But yeah, I just felt awkward up there. I felt like people were judging me. And I really want people to know how much I care, how much I care about people.
Yeah.
And how I'm not that person to say I don't give a f-. You know, I'm not that kid.
Not
I'm the person who genuinely cares.
That's
and
right.
Although what's happened in the past has happened.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to make the best impression on people.
Sure.
And be kind and loving and gentle and soft. And although people can call me a softie,
you're a softie.
That's how my mom raised me.
That's right, man. He cares too much.
Why?
He loves too much.
I wouldn't have guessed that.
He's too sensitive for this world. And he's got to put on a hard outer shell. He's pretending to be.
Oh,
to be a douchebag in order to protect his sensitive, soft underbelly.
Is he whispering?
Why is he whispering? What?
Because it's a confession.
Where was it from?
Oh, I see.
It's a confession.
It's on the Ellen Show, right?
No.
Where was it from?
No, it is.
He's on Ellen today. I thought maybe this was a preview of that. Sorry.
No, this is him at home having a little one-on-one with you, the believer. Just him and his camera in his house just talking straight talk, man.
He cares too
much.
That's
real talk right
there.
We
mistook that for...
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, he did appear on the Ellen DeGeneres Show as a surprise guest for her birthday show, which shot this week. It does air today, and apparently he was concerned that maybe he seemed a little aloof or a little dickish on that show. So this is sort of a preemptive apology for his behavior on that show, I believe.
Okay.
Where he wants you to know he's not who he pretends to be, man. It's just on the inside. It's just
okay, but,
too soft.
Lisa May is still thug life, though, right? She's still hard on the outside, right?
Lisa's hard on the outside and the inside.
Yeah.
I hope so.
I think she's harder on the inside than she appears to be on the outside, actually.
What?
Yeah,
that's true.
Absolutely. And Taylor Swift is...
Yeah, dog!
It's just horrible. It's just horrible on every level.
She really is.
She is now taking just... to her attack on our popular culture has gone beyond sight and sound. Now she's attacking our language. She's starting to trademark phrases left and right so that she can make money off them and no one else can. The latest one, this sick beat that she says annoyingly in her song, Shake It Off. That has been trademarked. Party like it's 1989, because we never go out of style. Could show you incredible things. Nice to meet you. Where have you been? This add this to the list of her previous registered phrases. The initials TS, by the way, are trademarked to Taylor Swift. Did you know that? If your name is Tom Smith and you want to put out TS t-shirts because you're Tom Smith, you can't do it. Already, thank you. Trademarked TS.
Wow.
Bye-bye.
That's weird.
Speak Now, Fearless, names of some of her previous albums, all trademarked. She's got it just locked down, son.
Fearless is just a word.
Trademarked! Pay her!
I guess what she's saying is, not that you can't use the word fearless, but if you wanted to put out an album and name it Fearless, you wouldn't be able to, maybe?
You want
to
put out a
then you're making money
fearless,
off
Fearless, you got to pay her.
Hmm.
You want anything called Fearless.
Any product,
boom. She got to get a taste. She's like the mafia. If you want to operate in this town, you got to give her a little protection money, or else she will kill you. That is exactly what she will do. Murder you.
Is that in the story?
It's in the story. It says if you use these things, she will murder you.
I didn't read that part.
Well, open up a blog, man.
All right.
Thug Life!
That's right. I think Lisa May is Taylor Swift's enforcer, if I'm not mistaken.
She's pretty rough, man.
She goes around with a violin case and just takes people out for TS. Oops, I said
it. Oh, pay her.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Riff Raff is 33 years old today. Adam Lambert, also 33. Sarah Gilbert's 40. Heather Graham's 45. Sam Trammell. Trammell?
I don't know.
I think it's Trammell.
I really like him.
I know.
I don't know
see him in print all the
name.
Time, but I've never heard it pronounced. So
he's the guy from True Blood,
True Blood,
right?
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Sam.
46 years old today. Oprah Winfrey. Winefree? I've never heard it said out loud.
Did you guys, any of you see Selma?
Yes.
I haven't seen it yet, no.
Haven't seen it yet?
Yeah.
Okay.
Dying
to. Why? Is it great?
I loved it.
No, I thought it was great, too. Okay. I just wondered if Oprah Winfrey, again, we have this conversation sometimes about people who just don't melt into their roles. To me, it was like, wow, this movie is set in 1965. Wait, why is Oprah Winfrey there?
Oprah Winfrey, what's she doing?
It's just kind of so distracting to me. And I know it's not her fault that she's famous, but sometimes it's tough to look aside from that.
Yeah.
I thought she melted in fine. I mean, of course you know it's her, but she absolutely matched the period.
But then we thought Justin Bieber was a dick, and
that's
were right. Wrong
so what do we
that.
Know?
That's
so,
right. Good point.
I don't think Oprah Winfrey melts into anything, any situation she's in. I've seen things melt into her, but not vice versa.
At one point, she was playing the whole crowd. I did notice that.
Yes.
So.
And actor Tom Selleck, he has been a star forever. He's 70 years old. He's on Blue Bloods right now, smash hit TV series on CBS, and he looks like he's about 40. And for that, I will never stop hating him. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This story is too sad. You may have to go on without me. I hate it so much.
Dude, but the cat came back from the dead.
I know it's a happy ending, but I hate stories that involve little kids or cats that are or animals that are hurt. And this is a cat that was hit by a car. And the family found him and buried him like you do.
Yes.
And then he clawed his way out of the earth to come back to life. It won't surprise anyone that it happened in Florida. Here's the news report.
Alice Hudson witnessed what he calls a miracle. His cat came back from the dead after being hit by a car and buried nearby. The cat was really dead.
The cat was absolutely dead. The cat was cold. The cat was stiff. The cat ain't had no movement, no nothing.
Or so he thought. As the family was grieving, Bart dug his way out of his own grave and came crawling back home. Ellis's neighbor saw him first.
There he is, just purring and looking up at me, all dirty, and I'm like, this cat is dead.
See, the Bart is not dead. Here's Bart right here.
The cat was alive all right, but in bad shape, with a broken jaw, a cracked palate, and deep wounds. Doctors at the Humane Society of Tampa Bay brought him back to life.
Well, or did they? No, they didn't bring him back to life because clearly he wasn't dead. You can't bring him back to life. But he is in bad shape. He had to have his jaw wired shut after surgery. He had his left eye removed. But the zombie cat is going to be okay.
My thought is maybe Ellis needs to not own pets.
Yes, I agree.
He doesn't seem to be able to read them very well. Well, we wanted to find out more about this story, so this won't surprise anyone that Bart the zombie cat is on the phone with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Bart, welcome to the show. Show, man, so great to talk to you.
Hey, good talk to you guys. What's your mind?
Well, it's just that we knew that your jaw was wired shut, but we didn't know what that was going to sound like.
Oh, well, laugh it off. Have a good time, Mike Finch. I haven't been through enough already.
Yeah, you have been through a lot.
You have been through a lot.
No, have a good time. Laugh it off.
No, we're not laughing. Look, we're happy.
Okay. I have enough time. I'm going to laugh at me, you know.
Okay. What?
Meow.
Look, we're delighted that you're alive, and we hope you have a long, happy, healthy life. But can you tell us just what happened when they started to dig your little grave? You must have been horrified by that.
Well, I was unconscious at the time.
Okay. Oh, I see. Yeah. So you didn't know. Okay, good.
So I wasn't aware they were digging the grave.
Okay.
I would have said, hey, don't dig a grave. I'm still alive.
Right. Of course, yeah.
But, so they had... You know, the first thing that happened was a car was coming.
You got hit by a car.
And so my thoughts were, car!
Right.
And then I did not remember anything after that. And then I woke up underground.
You were in the grave?
Yes.
Now,
I prefer not to call it the grave.
Okay, well.
I like to call it, I was just underground.
You were underground, okay. Yes. Okay, so now that is a lot of people are terrified of being buried alive. And a lot of people, that's their worst nightmare is you wake up and you're underground. What do you do? I mean, it's got to seem insurmountable to be able to get out of that situation.
Well, luckily for me, I am a cat.
Right.
And I don't really have, I'm not that deep.
Okay, not a lot of cognitive thought happening.
No,
okay.
I was like, this is my worst fear. That's not what I was thinking. My worst fear is usually hairball.
Right, okay.
This was just like, I should not be underground.
Okay.
I'm going to try to do my best to get not underground.
All right, now it took 5 days for you to get to the neighbor.
Yeah.
How much of that were you underground?
I was underground. Here's the thing. Again, hard for me to know because I am a cat.
Are we asking too many questions, Bart?
I do not tell time or own a calendar of any kind.
Yeah, I didn't think about that, actually.
I don't really know what day it was or how many days passed.
Okay.
All I know is I was underground, and it was really important for me to not be underground anymore.
All right, that makes sense. All right. That's our bad. Sorry.
It's the worst interview I've ever done. And I'm a cat.
It's a pretty short list of celebrities who played clarinet in their high school band and still were able to make something of themselves. Jimmy Kimmel comes to mind. He's one who certainly was able to succeed. And the man in our studio right now, ladies and gentlemen, is another one who has put the clarinet down. Rainn Wilson joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. How are you, sir?
Woo! I see five pairs of hands clapping. I'm good. It's even worse than clarinet. Even worse. I gave up the clarinet.
Oboe.
Worse
than an oboe? Oboe.
Worse.
What's worse than an oboe?
Transition from the clarinet to the
bassoon.
Bassoon. Thank you.
Are you kidding me?
Yes.
Maybe. So you just got all the chicks.
Oh, it was a chick magnet.
Maybe, and I told Jimmy this too, and he didn't take my advice. Maybe don't tell people that.
I wear it as a badge of honor.
All right. Okay.
Ray, what were you
That's
like?
A choice.
What were you like in high school? We know you now as being, you know, very outgoing and affable, and obviously very funny. What were you like as a teenager? Okay, Bean, I'm going to paint a picture for you. That's pretty pathetic. I was about as tall as I am now. I'm at about 220, and I was about 160 at the time. I was a beanpole, pimply, ungainly. I was on the chess team, marching band, where I played the xylophone in a kilt for the Shorecrest Highlanders in Seattle.
Wow.
And was in Model United Nations.
Oh, my God.
And on weekends, I would play Dungeons and Dragons.
So you would have been literally voted, and I don't know if they had this category in your high school, least likely to succeed, right?
Yeah, well, no,
but you could tell
because
he was a smart
succeeds
kid.
Would be the people who just, you know, the stoners in the parking lot who are just, you know, pound their heads into brick walls all the time. I mean, even then it's like, well, I got good grades, you know, I would
right, okay.
be, you know, most likely to be a science teacher in suburban Seattle someday.
Did you have this sense of humor then? Were you funny?
I did have a sense of humor, and I'm really grateful for that. And me and my friends, we had a very insidious kind of like quirky, fun sense of humor, and we would watch Monty Python movies and great TV and had our own kind of languages that we spoke, and we had a lot of fun. We made each other laugh.
Was there any opportunity for acting in your high school, or did that not come till later?
You know, that was in Seattle, and then in my junior year, I moved to high school in north of Chicago, and they had an amazing acting program, and that's where I started acting. And then I found, like, and this literally happened, where the first day in the acting class, we did this exercise, improvisation, and I did this improvisation, and I sang an Elvis Costello song and was acting really goofy, and everyone laughed, and all of a sudden, girls came up to me and like, "You're really funny."
And that flipped the switch for you. You were like,
"Done." I gave up the bassoon. I gave up the Model United Nations, the chess.
You made
the right
move.
And I was a total drama geek after that, and I was like, wait a minute. You can get girls by making them laugh? I was like, my mind was like,
you're not a guy. Who did we just have on this week, Kevin, who was on 50 different TV shows before he made it? Who was it? Remember, it was somebody who was on
Daniel Day Kim?
Daniel Day Kim. Yeah, we had Daniel Day Kim in.
Daniel.
And he was on, like, literally, he was on every show you can think of while he was coming up before he finally got a role. That wasn't your case. I'm not saying it happened super, super fast, but I mean, you kind of got some good work pretty early on when you turned pro, didn't you?
You know nothing about me,
well,
Bean.
Tell me.
Okay, I'll fill you in.
Was your first movie not Galaxy Quest?
It was.
Was your second movie not Almost Famous?
I'm just saying. But hold on a second. Yeah, but what did I do the 10 years before that? What was I doing?
You tell me.
I was doing nothing. I was in New York. I was doing theater in New York, and I couldn't get on any TV shows. I was in New York for 10 years. I couldn't even get an audition for Law & Order. I was trying to get on TV.
And don't put anyone on Law & Order.
Anyone. If you can talk and move a cardboard box or drive a forklift, they'll put you on Law & Order.
You couldn't even play a corpse on Law & Order? They wouldn't even give you that, laying face down in a pool of blood?
Not even. It was pathetic. So when I came to L.A., a lot of doors opened. Yeah, and my first two movies were Almost Famous and Galaxy Quest. Totally small roles in them, but it was – and then I was like, oh, I'm set. And I did a pilot for NBC that was like the worst pilot in the world. But I was like, oh, my God, I'm set. I'm going to work in TV and film for the rest of my life. And then I promptly didn't work again for a year and a half.
Yeah. All right. You paid your dues. All right.
I paid some dues.
So 6 Feet Under was the big break. That was the first like recurring role where kind of everybody knew your name in town, right?
Yeah. And that really changed everything. That was back in the day when HBO was super hot and new, and Sopranos and Wire and – Curb Your Enthusiasm and Entourage were on, and everyone was watching it. It was appointment television, and
it was a genius show.
6 Feet Under,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah, so great.
It was amazing.
It was a great show, and it's it really is missed. No one's been able to do what that show did. It was really cool. Yeah.
Now, someone told me, and I don't know if this is true, because you know you see a lot of weird stuff like on Wikipedia and stuff. Somebody told me that you were on the American version of The Office, but I don't remember you in that cast.
Yeah, I did some work on that, mostly in the back. Remember the guy Creed, the old guy?
Yeah, I remember Creed. Yeah,
I was back with him.
back there.
Oh, you're one, just one of those guys in the background.
Yeah,
I see.
Yeah.
I didn't realize the number of jokes that you were the sole proprietor of on that show until I got the DVD series. And then I watched the outtakes, and it's 99% Rain. Because he had all the ridiculous nonsense lines.
Yes.
I mean, the character was absurd, but I didn't realize it until I saw that, where you just had to deliver nonsense.
I did.
And it was awesome.
All the preposterous stuff, the ridiculous, the out there stuff they gave to Dwight, and it was amazing. I mean, I'll never have a job better than that. It was absolutely incredible. They let us improvise. Everyone was really nice. We all got along. It's like one of those crazy jobs. It's kind of like this studio.
All right, Rainn Wilson is here. We're getting to his new show, Backstrom, which is on TV, which is getting off to a very strong start Thursday night.
It is on TV, Bean.
It is. Yes. Thursday nights at 9 on Fox. My question for you before we take a break and come back and talk a lot about Backstrom is, what did you think you wanted to do when The Office finally ended and you left with a warm, fuzzy feeling about that? What did you hope the next move would be for you, Rainn?
Honestly, I wanted to go to New York and do a play. I really wanted to. I wanted to take some serious time off, and I wanted to go, like, do a Broadway show or something. I had done so many theater productions in New York, I wanted to go back to that town, but it didn't happen. It wasn't in the cards. And that's okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, it seems like it's going pretty well now.
It's going great. It's going great. I'll go when I'm really old. I'll go play King Lear when I'm, like, 87.
All right, the show is called Backstrom. It's on tonight at 9 on Fox. We'll talk all about it with our new friend, Rainn Wilson, when we return right after this on K-Rock. Rainn Wilson here on the Kevin and Bean Show. The TV show is called Backstrom. It airs tonight on Fox at 9. Rainn, before we talk about that, what's your policy on going to people's homes or businesses and pooping in them? Do you think that should be allowed, or should that person not be invited back?
I will poop. I poop in. Listen, wolves mark their territory with urine.
Right.
Uh-huh. And the wolf that can pee the highest on the tree is the alpha.
Okay.
All right.
Humans mark their territory with poop.
Okay.
And I poop into every business establishment that I walk into.
So it is not, in your opinion, it is not bad form at all.
I pooped in your bathroom.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you did.
And fortunately, my poop smells like lilacs and freshly baked chocolate chip cookies.
Oh, that is good for us, then.
So, okay. But I have marked my territory. This radio station is mine.
Is
but
yours
your bathroom
now.
Is pathetic.
It is pretty bad.
It is. Even your nice bathroom.
That is our nice bathroom.
He went to the bathroom and started complaining about it. I was like, oh, you must have gone to the bad one. He's like, no, he went to the nice one.
It's terrible.
It is terrible. It's a nightmare.
There's a gas station down the street with a better bathroom.
Yeah. Rainn, you've been listening to K-Rock for a long time. How low rent this place is. You can't be surprised that these are not first class accommodations. You can't.
It is very funny.
All right, let's talk about the Backstrom. And let me say what I want to say, and then I want to hear what you have to say. What I want to say is people should definitely check it out. You can watch the first episode for free on the Fox website. Episode 2 airs tonight. And what's great about this show, it is the most politically incorrect character on television. And God bless you for that, Rainn Wilson.
It's, and that's...
I love that about it, too.
Thank you. It's one thing that is super fun about playing this character is he has no filter. So Backstrom is so – he hates himself so deeply, but he hates everyone. So he's just – he spits bile, and he just degrades everyone around him. And believe it or not, that's really fun to watch.
And he doesn't do that part-time.
No.
That's him.
That's him. It's
everybody
who he is.
Everybody hates him.
It's his coping mechanism. And he's addicted to pretty much everything on the planet. And it's super fun. We didn't set out to make a show that was just going to, like, skewer political correctness. We set out to make a show about a really tortured individual who sees the very worst in everyone. And that's part of what that is.
Is that what drew you to this?
Yeah, what drew me to it was the combination of the dark and the light. It's still a really funny show. It's a dramedy.
Yeah, a lot of light moments, absolutely.
But at the same time, you get to explore all of this darkness, this underbelly of the crime world, and a guy who's falling apart at the seams. This guy, his coping mechanism of getting by in the world, which is just pure hatred. And disgust and cynicism, it's not working. It's falling apart. So it's really interesting. You'll have scenes where there's tears followed by a physical comedy and absurdity, and it balances it all really well. The guy who created it, Hart Hansen, is just a terrific writer, and he wrote he created Bones, and he knows how to balance that stuff. This is a lot darker than Bones, but it's just a joy to play.
Well, you certainly dared the audience to take the ride with you when the opening scene is you with your shirt off.
Always my magnificent, pasty, strange torso.
In fact, let's play a clip because I think this is from the first episode. This is a clip of you, your character, who's a police officer who's got some health problems, and he goes to a doctor who is a doctor of Indian descent, and this gives you an idea of what Backstrom's all about.
Are you still drinking?
Absolutely not.
When a patient says absolutely not, he's absolutely lying.
If you Hindus are so smart, how come 98% of you live at the dump?
5 years ago, you were demoted to traffic because of your health.
That's just an excuse.
Please, share the truth with me.
Okay, I will. I arrested a white supremacist for killing 6 Indians. Not Tandoori Indians like you, but you know the Geronimos.
All right, how many letters poured into Fox as soon as that episode aired?
I'm staying out of it. They write me words, and I try to bring them to life, Bean.
Are we going to get some backstory on why Backstrom is so tortured?
Yeah, and that's what makes it really interesting is, sure, we solve a crime every week, but you also get to really know this guy and the other people in the ensemble. It's a great... great ensemble. Dennis Haysbert.
Love him so much. He's so good, too. Yeah.
Thomas Decker, Paige Kennedy. Just a great, great ensemble. And you get to know Backstrom. You get to meet family members. You meet his ex-fiancée, played by Sarah Chalk. His father, played by Robert Forster, who's a really corrupt
great
sheriff. And you start to see, you start to get an inkling of the life that he went through. Because anyone who behaves this way in the world has to have a lot of trauma in their background. So it's really fun, gooey actor stuff, too, to get to know Backstrom's childhood and what he went through and what brought him to be this way, to see the world this way.
Is it annoying to not shave and to sort of let yourself go because that's what he looks like?
Well, I love the not shaving. For Dwight, I had to shave twice a day.
Wow.
I would shave at 6 in the morning when we got started.
Really?
And then again after lunch. And it was torture. It was torture. I mean, please, you know, that's my biggest complaint about The Office.
That
my dad was a sewer man, you know, so I'm complaining about shaving twice a day.
Right. You should have been Moses instead.
Yeah. But having the stubble was I loved, but... I gained so much weight because it's this thing, like, the heavier I am, the better it is for the character. So, you know, you get the cheeseburger and they're like, would you like fries or salad with that? And now that I'm in my 40s, I'm like, salad. But now that I was playing Backstrom, I was like, fries.
You know, I'm a method actor.
You make those little choices that just take you down the rabbit hole towards.
You are giving it all for your art, Raid. Congratulations on those choices.
You know what I love about the other characters on the show, too, and that doctor's a perfect example of it, is you're an insulting human being, and he's not insulted by it at all. It's just like he knows that's you, and everybody else sort of knows that's you. And I love that counterbalance of them not being offended by the things that you say.
Yeah, and they occasionally they're offended. I mean, they put me in my place. You know, this is not a show about racism. This is a show about a racist cop. It's like it's kind of like Archie Bunker and All in the Family. You know, he's a misguided, bigoted guy trying to get by, and you kind of fall in love with him as the show goes along.
Just got an email from a Kevin Bean listener named Lisi, L-I-C-I. I've never heard that name before. Good morning. I want you to know I watched Backstrom last week. I have to tell you, I haven't laughed, honest belly laughing that much in such a long time. I am hooked. The character reminded me of Archie Bunker. It was fabulous. That's what Lisi says.
Oh, right, that's nice.
Had you ever played a police officer before, Rain?
No, and I was really freaked out by it. One of the things I really hate about television is all the cop shows and all these pretty actors pretending to be cops. You know, and they've got their skin tight jeans
and
they've got
running in heels.
They're running in like high heeled boots and they're form fitting leathers and their little guns and their little badges.
I gotta be honest, I sort of like that.
Yeah,
I do. I sort of like
got
that.
This little fetish.
Yeah,
fetish,
I do. Sort of do.
But I hate this. I was really like that was an issue for me. Like how is Rainn Wilson, this bassoon player from Seattle, who just played Dwight, going to play a believable cop? And then I really embrace the fact that Backstrom is not a believable cop. He's a coward. He hates using a gun. He's slovenly. He doesn't follow the rules. I don't in any way, shape, or form need to be a tough guy or a cop or unconvincing. I can let Dennis Haysbert do that, and he looks pretty convincing with a gun.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm the jerk in the corner who's brilliant at solving the crimes.
That's smart. That's a really interesting way to play that character, and that really, really works, too. Backstrom airs tonight, Thursday night at 9 on Fox. By the way, the pilot, again, is for free on Fox's website or on iTunes if you want to catch up. But you can tune in tonight. You don't even have to have seen the pilot. If you just want to start with episode 2, you can. Rain, you mentioned you're writing a book.
I'm writing a book, and I got a Kevin and Bean story in my book.
What?
Oh, no, we need our
story. Do you want to hear my Kevin and Bean story?
I don't know. Do we?
Do we have enough time?
Yes.
Do we want to hear it, or is it going to make us cry?
It's going to make you cry, but a different kind of a tear.
Were we dicks?
No. Okay. No, it all really right, is not that at
then
all.
We want to hear it.
All right. So, I don't know if you remember, but like 6 years ago, I did the movie The Rocker.
Yes.
And I came on here to promote The Rocker. And, you know, I was promoting it everywhere and blah, blah, blah. And I had been on before. I'd been on for The Office and other movies that I'd done and been on your show and stuff like that. And The Rocker bombed. I mean, it bombed big time. It's like a record box office bomb stinkorama movie. America voted. It's like, we do not want to see Rainn Wilson in lead roles in movies. Boo. And it was like, and it was really painful to me because I'd put so much into the movie. I really loved the movie, and I still think it's a really awesome movie. And
everyone else said no.
Everyone else said no.
Yeah.
But no, a lot of people still watch that movie and really love it. It had a great ensemble. We had Bradley Cooper and Emma Stone.
Jeez.
We had like Oscar nominees in that film. And Jeff Garland, speaking of him,
love
and
him.
Josh Gad. And
so everyone was great in it but you, maybe. You were perhaps
maybe,
the weak link.
Okay. But anyways, so it opened abysmally. And I mean, so bad. Like, it was like, it made like $2.8 million, even though it was in like 3,000 screens on a weekend. And I was going into the office extra early. It was like 5:30 in the morning. You guys were on the radio. I was listening to you guys. And you're like, okay, let's look at what's happening with the movies this last weekend. You're doing your like rapid fire helium talking. And you were like, oh, okay, this movie opened at number one. And Tropic Thunder did this. And they're like, wait a minute. Where's Rain's movie? I don't even see it on the list. Where's Rain's movie? Oh, and then you guys were like, oh, it opened at number 12. Oh, 2.8 million. Oh, and you guys were really sweet about it. You weren't boning me at all. You were just like, oh, that's got to hurt. And I was literally driving in at 5:30 in the morning down the 101, and you guys were like, oh, that's got to hurt. Poor Rain. Oh,
that's
what a disappointment.
What you wanna hear.
Oh, and I literally started to cry in the car. And I was like, Kevin and Bean made me cry. But you guys were really supportive of it and really sweet. It wasn't – you were not like – you weren't, you know
– But we don't ever want to be the bearers of bad news. We're not qualified to disseminate hurtful information, Rain.
But it was like – oh, it was so tough. The Monday morning afterwards, it was just like, oh, poor Rain. Oh, The Rocker bombed. Oh, he didn't even make it in the top 10. Oh. And I was like driving down the 101.
That sucks.
Well, we're sorry about that, I guess.
No, it's good. You get to be my memoir.
Okay.
You know,
all right.
Long after you're forgotten.
Good enough.
Kevin and Bean, people will be reading my memoir hundreds of years from now and say, who is this mythical Kevin and Bean we read of?
When is that coming out? The memoir?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know. I'm about halfway through. I haven't even picked a title yet. And
why'd you want to write a book, Rain? Seems like a lot of work.
It's so much work. It's so much work. You know, I love these. I got a lot of funny stories to tell. I had a lot of really crappy jobs and hard times and coming up and
bassoon playing to talk about.
Bassoon playing geekdom and I just wanted
Dungeons,
to get that story out there.
Dungeons and Dragons hacks you got for us?
Yes.
All right. Well, I know you'll be back again, Rain. It's always a pleasure to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show. You know you're one of our favorites, and we're very excited about your new show, Backstrom, Thursday nights at 9 on Fox. Please check it out, folks. You will not be disappointed. Rain Wilson, you guys.
Yeah.
Yay. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:56.
Dr. Drew Pinsky with his weekly visit to the Kevin and Bean Show coming up in about 10 minutes, and your chance to qualify to go see U2 in Barcelona, Spain.
Barcelona!
First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Thursday. What's going on?
Speaking of weekly visits, tomorrow night at 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose, Kevin Smith and I return Hollywood Babylon to its proper time and place.
No.
Friday night at 10 p.m. We're going to play the Improv with Hollywood Babylon. Love to have you come join us. Go to improv.com for more details and to get your tickets. Come on.
No!
Jeff Garland will be there. You know, I've decided there are a few rules, fast and hard rules, that you can have in life to guide yourself by. But one of them I found is whoever Bean likes...
Go the other way.
Go the other way.
the hell?
Yeah, it is one of the few constants in my universe. And I thought of that today as I read this most recent story about Gwyneth Paltrow, who Bean loves. Bean loves
I'm a fan of hers. Look, I'm not saying she doesn't say and do some things that are annoying, but I think she gets a bad rap for the most part, and I think she's a very talented actress.
Well, Gwyneth Paltrow, who gets a bad rap, according to Bean, now wants all the ladies out there to steam their vaginas.
What?
Make sure you steam your vaginas, ladies.
What?
You heard me.
Tell us more.
She undergoes regular Mugworth V-steams, which sounds like something out of Harry Potter.
It sure does.
It is a treatment that's available at the Tikkun Spa in Santa Monica. And she says it cleanses her vagina and uterus and provides an energetic release.
Look, I'm no gynecologist, but that sounds unnecessary.
In fact, doctors who have been presented with this story have said, don't do that. It is completely unnecessary.
Hey, too much information and shit, man.
But she says you sit on a mini throne, and a combination of infrared and mugwort steam cleanses your vagina and uterus.
Oh, you.
It's an energetic release, not just a steam douche.
That balances, calm down, it's just a vagina.
Balances female hormone levels. If you're in L.A., you have to do it, she puts on her Goop website.
Lisa, why didn't you tell us about that? You subscribe to her Goop, don't you?
Not anymore. I got pooped out.
Come on.
I can't do it anymore.
You
Good job. You're a Goop watch.
Love Goop.
You're our Goop watcher. What happened?
You're always surrounded by Goop.
If you want, I will Goop again.
Please Goop.
Because we missed the steam vagina story. Come on.
All right.
There are different V-steams available, according to the spa's website, you know, for different needs. And for men, there's also an anus steam.
Oh, no.
Dear Max.
There's an A steam for men. It's their signature slimming infertility postpartum. They have different V-steams for different occasions. If you want to get thin, there's one V-steam you can put in your vagina. For infertility, there's another one. For postpartum after pregnancy, there's one. And then
you have any other stories over there, Ralph?
There's a signature steam for men, the A steam. So you can get that taken care of for you if you need.
Look, this is just rich people who have nothing to do with their time and money but think about how they can improve their bodies.
And
right?
Beer Mug has plans for the weekend.
Beer Mug is getting his A steam.
All right. I'm in.
Go sit on a mini throne.
Do it. So we're sending him down there to get the A's team and report back. I like it.
And from that news, which I would file under bad news,
right,
to this, which I would file under great news. In fact, it's so good.
Yeah! I'm gonna turn them on, hey, what's going on? I'm gonna have some fun.
It's the hot fudge holy moly story of the day. After 5 years, long 5 years of waiting, the Flight of the Conchords getting back together again.
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Jermaine Clement and his partner Brett McKenzie are, according to Billboard.com, planning on touring later on this year in the United States. And that will mean new material that will be debuted during these shows.
Awesome. Are they doing the TV show again or no?
No word yet on any TV work, but there could be some recording in the future. However, Jermaine said, I really don't like the studio part of music. I enjoy playing live and letting others take care of the recording. So maybe they'll record the live versions of their show while they're on the road, and then they will release that.
They have so many good songs,
they have
don't
so
they?
Many good songs and brand new music coming from Flight of the Conchords and a brand new tour. So
if you haven't seen...
We see you girls checking out the front of our trunks. We see you girls looking at our junk, then checking out our rumps, then back to our sugar lumps.
Come on. They're back, ladies and gentlemen.
That's an insane show. If you haven't seen it yet, look it up.
Yeah, but the music is just as good as the show.
Agreed.
Yeah. Check it out.
All the ladies at the party, come on and shake your boobies, yeah. Who likes to rock the party?
I like to rock the party.
My favorite is, you could be the most beautiful girl in this room. Today's celebrity birthdays, Riff Raff, the rapper, is 33 years old today. Adam Lambert, or Lambert, as they say in France.
Okay.
He's 33 years old. Mm-hmm. Sarah Gilbert, or Gilbert, as they say in France, is 40 years old today. Heather Graham, or Heather Graham, as they say in France, is 45. Sam Trammell, or Trammell, as they say in France, is 46. Oprah Winfrey, or Fatty Fat Fat, as they say in France, is 61. And Tom Selleck, or as they say in France, mustachio.
They don't say that in
they
France.
They do. They no, call mustachio in France.
Nope.
He walks down the street in Paris, they go, ho, 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 mustachio.
Nope, doesn't happen.
No, it does not. He is 70 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 10 minutes after 9 o'clock.
As you know, at 9 o'clock every morning this week, we're hooking you up with the possibility of a trip to Barcelona, Spain to see you too. It's the grand prize for K-Rock's World Tour 2015 Destination Number 3. Congratulations to Richard Hurst from Glendora. He just won tickets to go see you two at the Forum on June 3rd and is now on the standby boarding list. Your chance to do the same happens at noon today. All right, so earlier this morning we were talking about this battle with Nancy Grace, who is a anchor person, I guess I want to say, hosts a talk show on HLN right before Dr. Drew, and they got into a discussion about pot. Let's play a little bit of that, and then we'll go to the doctor on the phone.
Dr. Drew, you've helped so many people, and so many people look to you. You say it's extremely addictive, but that's okay to legalize it. I don't understand that.
All right, so she's having a debate with Dr. Drew. Who says that he likes her?
Yeah.
Dr. Drew says
nobody
he likes
her.
Nobody likes Nancy Grace.
I like Nancy
you
off
don't.
The air. I don't like Nancy on the air.
She's a dick.
Boy, she's tough to debate with, isn't she, Dr. Drew? Well, because she doesn't want anybody else to talk.
She doesn't want anybody to talk, and she gets in these rigid spots where it sort of begs no alternative. And she opened the whole discussion by describing some case where some dude who was an opiate addict was coming off opiates and killed his family, but he had some pot in his system. So you see, pot causes people to murder their family.
Right.
And therefore it should be illegal. I mean, oh, this is the most spurious argument I've ever heard in my life.
That's insane for somebody to just state. And she did the exact same thing when she, quote, debated 2 Chainz, which is she found a photo of a parent giving their kid weed.
You should know that the hashtag Drew Chainz has been. and I feel very close to that.
I love that. Doctor, here was my theory when we were playing more of the interview earlier today, and that is that she was a prosecutor for so long, and she's used to just battering witnesses on the stand until she can get them to say something that is beneficial to her case. That's her debate style on TV.
Absolutely, 100%. And it's really interesting to be an object of that. And evidently people, you guys may be surprised to hear this, people have feelings about pot. People do. People have some intense feelings about it, and they feel it should be legal, and I think the people should have their way. Didn't we form this country for personal liberties, and isn't that what this was all about?
Is this
I think that's what we did, right?
Is this topic the most misunderstood topic concerning you?
Yes. Thank you, Kevin. People think I'm anti-pot or I'm anti-legalization, which I have never been. I've been sort of on the fence. I've been kind of neither here nor there, and now I'm actively agnostic about this. If people want something, they should be able to vote the law into effect, and it's certainly done so in some states, and why not in other states?
And you've said on many different occasions a drug is neither good or bad. It's your relationship with it.
And thank you, Kevin. That was my whole point in the debate, which is that how can you argue that a drug is good or bad? OxyContin, if you're an addict, it's bad. If you have cancer, it's good. Mm. Alcohol, good or bad? Well, certainly in terms of the impact on our health and the socioeconomic functioning of our society, alcohol, the worst. But some people like it.
A lot of people have a healthy relationship.
If you're alcoholic, it's bad.
Yeah.
It's not because the drug is good nor bad. It's because how we conduct ourselves, our individual proclivities with it, and the medical system will deal with that. We will deal with it.
Let me ask you this, though, Dr. Drew. And again, I know you're not a legislator and you're not trying to make laws, but you do certainly have a vested interest in the health outcomes of the decisions that we make as a people. Pot is something that millions of people use that for many of them has no detrimental effects, right?
Yes.
Just like many people use alcohol and they use it in a way that doesn't impact their lives in a negative way, correct?
Categorically.
Okay, if we were to up it a notch, though, and look at some of these other drugs, would you come out against legalization of cocaine, heroin, other things that are more dangerous that you can't really have a friendly relationship with?
Not, you may be surprised to hear it, not necessarily. Portugal did that. They legalized everything. It's been working for them. Holland did some of that. Didn't work. So I would be willing to entertain it. It helps me when certain drugs are illegal and people really can't stop. But if, again, it's not, I'm not about the laws. That's about the people. And there will be consequences from all these things. And there'll be some of those may be much more profound than others. This one is probably not going to be that profound.
In your professional opinion as a doctor, Nancy Grace is a dick, though, right?
In my professional opinion, of course.
Okay,
because you're in our house now, so you can't lie about that, Dr. Drew.
Do you have that quote?
Oh, my God, you're in my house now.
Oh, my God.
And then, by the way, when the conversation continued over to Dr. Drew's show, Dr. Drew says to her, "You're in my hizzy now," is what Drew said on the air, by the way.
Point Drew.
Hey, I know we got to go here, Doc, and we want to talk about your event on Saturday night for a second, too, but what percentage of people, if you can put a rough number on it, become addicted to marijuana where it really does negatively impact their lives?
It's like other addictions. It's actually a subset of addicts. About 10% of people have the potential for addiction, and a subset of them get addicted to pot sometimes. But if people understand marijuana addiction treatment admissions are up in Colorado. And people are pointing at that and going, oh, look what a disaster. I'm thinking, maybe not. Maybe first people get more momentum with the drug, so they realize they have a problem, they get going in quicker. Or maybe because it's legal and we've dropped this moral veil and all this crazy political energy around the drug, people can now be coming to treatment without feeling stigmatized. So although treatment for marijuana as a primary and secondary drug are up in Colorado, I say that may be a good thing, and I bet it goes down with time.
Dr. Drew, of course, the co-host of Loveline here on KROQ. Dr. Drew Midday Live with Mike Cathwood on KABC starting at noon each day. And of course, Dr. Drew on call weeknights HLN at 6. But you're also doing a live show this Saturday night at the Hollywood Improv with a young man named Mike Carano. What's going on there, Drew?
How crazy is that? Mike and I have a very strange relationship. We've done podcasting together, and it's just an interesting relationship. And one day he said, we should do an improv event. And I said, all right, whatever you think. So we're going to be up there at 10 o'clock on Saturday night. Please join us. We need an audience in order to make this thing work. But I have a vehement hatred for the 70s, and he has a desperate love for them.
Oh,
that's
good.
Where we're starting.
I like it.
I am curious to hear that conversation. That sounds like fun. All right, Dr. Drew, HLN is the Twitter account for his show, and just at Dr. Drew for everything else. And, of course, Loveline here on KROQ. Thanks, Drew. Have a great week, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate it.
106.7 KROQ is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39.
Ralph is here. Time for the showbiz beat. Hey, everybody on the internet's all a flutter about the Ted 2 trailer that came out today, Ralph.
Yeah, I posted it on my Twitter feed. That's why you should subscribe to at Ralph Garman. Boom, you got it there in your box.
I tried to subscribe, but there was some sort of a mishap with the computer. It told me that I had been blocked and I was unable to. But fortunately, it was available elsewhere. You're not in the sequel, right? Because there's no flashback to Mark Wahlberg.
Oh, I'm not.
No, I'm asking.
Oh, I'm not in the sequel?
Are you in the sequel?
See, you didn't ask. You said, you're not in the sequel because you just made the presumptive
close. No, it was a question.
Right?
You're not in the sequel question. Because there's no flashbacks to Mark Wahlberg's character, right? That's the question I was asking.
Huh.
Are you in it?
I'd be interested to know.
Tell me.
I am in the sequel.
That's great news.
Yeah!
All right. Same character, different character?
Different character.
All right.
So you are in a movie with Morgan Freeman now.
Sure. Isn't everyone?
That's unbelievable.
I'm not.
It's hard to do a movie and not be in a movie with Morgan Freeman at some point. Or Samuel L. Jackson. You'll run into them at some point. You'll just cross paths.
If you're in Hollywood, I guess that's true. Well, anyway, the trailer is very funny. I'm sad that your character is not in the trailer, but the movie looks very funny, so well done.
They didn't have time for my character in the trailer. It's just such a massive part.
It would have been distracting.
It would have been the whole trailer if they tried to put my role in there.
Sure.
You're going to have to pay very close attention to find me in Ted 2. That's all I got to say.
This isn't like Dave the King of Mexico in Step Up 1.5 or whatever.
I wish I had the kind of role Dave had in Step Up. No, here's the thing. It was a bit of a conundrum because, as Bean mentioned, I did play the Wahlberg's character, John. I played his dad in the first film, in the beginning of the film when Ted first comes to life. I am the father, along with Alex Borstein. We play the parents of John in the beginning of that film. And as Bean mentioned, that those characters do not show up again in the sequel. But Seth, being one of the best guys on the planet, said, I really want to have you in this film.
Okay.
And I said, well, that doesn't seem possible, Seth. You should know better. And he said, I'm going to find a way to get you in. And so he came up with a very clever way to find me something in the film. So
all right. That's awesome.
If you pay close attention, you will find a little cameo from me in Ted 2.
How's that? I know I don't want to hijack your report here, but how's that Mark Wahlberg to work with?
He is a sweetheart of a guy.
Seems like a nice dude.
Very nice guy. And I didn't work with him at all in the first one, but I got to work with him a little bit in this one. And
Man, that's a strong accent.
Whew. Well, he's supposed to be Bostonian.
Oh, I know.
So he gets to really let it loose and enjoy himself.
Hey, that's the accent Seth grew up hearing, right? Probably in Rhode Island or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why Peter Griffin talks like that and Ted talks like that. And
when's the movie coming out, Ralph?
June 26th is the release date for Ted 2. So
fantastic.
It'll be this summer. It's Mark and it's Amanda Seyfried, who I also got a chance to work with a little bit in A Million Ways to Die in the West. She is back working with Seth. And Jessica Barth returns as Ted's girlfriend, now wife, in this film. And Morgan Freeman and John Slattery. Great cast. And so the 26th of June is when that comes
out. That's awesome.
And I recommend you hunt down the trailer online right now because it's very, very funny. Let me give away some tickets right now to another film that looks great, Jupiter Ascending.
Yeah!
Movie stars Mila Kunis, who, of course, was in the first Ted and Family Guy. I don't know if you saw Sunday's Family Guy or not, where Meg, Mila's character, got into foot fetish porn.
Oh, I have not seen that yet.
But I am happy to confirm the reports that, yes, I am indeed the foot fetish pornographer in that episode. So thanks for
Was there a vajankle on the episode?
There was no vajankle, sadly.
By the way, first thing, you know, Lisa's been out for a couple days.
Yes.
First thing Kevin said to her when he saw her this morning is, Lisa, look up vajankle right now.
Yeah, Kevin's all about the vajankle.
It was horrifying.
You
horrifying.
It.
It's really sexy as hell, Lisa.
It is
not
sexy.
At all.
You know, when they have sex
looks
with an ankle?
Like Walking Dead stuff.
Yeah.
So gross.
Loved it.
Mila Kunis, Channing Tatum, Eddie Redmayne, all star in Jupiter Ascending. This film looks great. It is in theaters everywhere on Friday, February the 6th. However, I have passes right now to the premiere of Jupiter Ascending. It takes place on Monday, February the 2nd. So if you're free and you want to go to see the premiere at the TCL Chinese Theater, call me now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers through that number get a pair of passes to the premiere of Jupiter Ascending. Over the weekend, I went on pay-per-view, and I got Uranus Ascending. And it's not the same film, and it's not at all what you want to
rent. Doesn't seem like it's even close.
I promise you. There's a steaming scene involved. Yeah. You don't want to watch Uranus Ascending at all.
That's a good tip.
I think Beer Mug's very excited about his A-steam, by the way.
Oh, he's going for it? You talked him into it?
Oh, yeah, he's going. What, we talked him into it? We're just telling him to do it.
Okay.
Go get your A-steamed. The reason we're talking about steaming this morning, I don't know if you saw the story or not, but Gwyneth Paltrow recommends to all of her goopers, or whatever she calls the followers of her lifestyle website, Goop, that she recommends you go to the Tikkun Spa in Santa Monica and get your vagina steamed. Get the V-steam. Mugwort V-steam.
It sort of seems like you should take care of things so you don't need to.
You know, you can do that in the shower every day. Every single day.
Yeah, why pay somebody to steam you?
You don't need to go to some special place.
The real golden ticket is the Mugwort V-steam, she says.
You're wrong, Lisa. Boy. She says you needed to go.
Boy, is Willy Wonka upset. That's the golden ticket. You essentially sit on
a
mini throne, she says, and a combination of infrared and mugwort steam cleanses your vagina and uterus. It's an energetic release. Not just a steam douche. And it balances female hormone levels. If you're in L.A., you have to do it. She says to her goopers.
Too much information, man.
It's only $50. There's a variety of different steams, five different steams you can choose from.
Yeah.
The signature.
You don't have to.
You know, the classic V steam.
You don't have to.
The slimming V steam. You can lose weight by pumping steam into your vagina.
I'm going to say that is medically not accurate.
That is.
I am not a doctor, but I'm telling you that doesn't work.
There's one for infertility. There's one for postpartum depression.
Yeah.
And then there's the A steam for men. It doesn't steam your V as much as it does your A. And we're going to send Beer Mug down there to get his A steam.
What about his V?
Well, he's going to
have to do that at the same time.
He's going to have to deal with his V on his own.
All right.
We don't have time to fix every part of him.
Ralph, I just had a very ugly incident. I wanted to find out more about this, so I Googled vagina steaming.
Uh-huh.
But I accidentally left off the S, so it was vagina teaming. And I got a page that you can't even imagine
Why would you?
With vagina teaming. Now I've got to get this computer history scrubbed.
I'm going to take my vajankle down to the spa and see if they'll steam my vajankle.
Sure.
I get a vajankle steaming.
This is unbelievable. This is a thing that people are paying to do.
Yeah.
This has to just be that somebody just made up and must be laughing all the way to the bank.
I'm going
to
open a clinic. I'm going to get myself a teapot and some stirrups, and I'm going to open up a business. I'm going to come on down.
Why not?
To Garmin Discount V-Steam.
They're called uterus spas where you go.
Sure.
Nope.
Oh,
unbelievable.
God.
I'm going to go door to door. Like those carpet cleaner companies. I'm just going to show up. All right, I'm here to steam your V. You got to move some furniture, lady. Let me get to that whole V.
Look, I don't know who called me, but somebody came from the house.
Somebody put an order in for a V steam.
When's Muggs going?
We haven't worked out all the details yet.
All right, get him an appointment.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Rapper Riff Raff is 33 years old today. Singer Adam Lambert is 33 as well. Sarah Gilbert, the actress, turns 40. Heather Graham turns 45 years old today. Sam Trammell from True Blood, he is 46 years old. Oprah Winfrey turns 61 today. And actor Tom Selleck is an incomprehensible 70.
Yeah, that's
he
crazy.
He doesn't look a day over 55. It's nuts.
And he's looked 55 for 20 years.
And he claims he never dyes his hair. He doesn't. There's been no surgery, no procedures of any kind. He's just won the genetic lottery.
He's
that's
a
all.
Lucky bastard.
I remember him. When he showed up on Friends in the 90s. Remember he was dating Monica for a while, and I thought, wow, Tom Selleck, that guy from the 70s, he still looks that good? Well, here we are in 2015, he's got a TV show on CBS where he looks just as good now.
He can put on the Hawaiian shirt and the lion's cap or the tiger's cap and look like Magnum today if he wanted to.
Yeah.
You could do it in Magnum today and you wouldn't even blink an eye. Bastard. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we have Mark and Jay Duplass talking about Togetherness on HBO. We have the movie beat because it's Friday. We have Eric Stone Street in studio from Modern Family. He's got a new movie called The Loft. And Super Bowl is this weekend. We have R.J. Bell on the program.
What's tomorrow. This weekend?
Super Bowl.
Oh, okay. I did hear you. That's why I had to ask you what you were talking about.
And we're going to talk
about Super Bowl.
I feel like it was close.
Super Bowl is close. All you were missing was the B.
We're also going to talk to Ray Lewis.
Super Bowl!
About the
no!
Super Bowl.
Super Bowl.
That's tomorrow morning on an all-new show.